Cyclone, hurricane, earthquake, flood, volcanic eruption, or a river of blood. We'll be here even if we get shot, so listen up now for some no matter what.
Boom, boom, boom.
Big it up now, big it up later.
Wow.
Yeah, if you, whatever you want. I'm not pushy. I'm not pushy today.
That was actually really cool.
Yeah, bringing a different energy. Bringing a cool cat energy.
Cool cat energy. I like it.
I'm not the biggest cat fan. Sorry. No, I know you've got cats here. Of a big dog kind of guy.
Big dog got a bark.
Both cool.
Cool dog.
Cool cats, big dogs. Cool dog. Kind of sounds like a sad hot dog. On your hot dog, you having fried onions on that?
I eat mostly vegetarian nowadays, but...
You coward.
Some days.
You are looking a little bit weak and ill.
Oh, dude, it's so crazy. The other day, someone threw a tennis ball at me and
put a hole right through you.
Right through. It's fucking crazy.
Went straight through the other side of your chest. Yep. Bone and all.
No, the bones are gone. The bones were the first things to go.
they deteriorated.
Yeah.
It's a lack of milk.
No. Oh, here's something. Here's a big gripe in my day-to-day life. I find that big milk has gotten to too many people.
Big milk. Big pharma.
I'm fine with big pharma. I actually think they're doing really good shit out there.
I'm talking about like big farmers.
Huge,
muscly guys just out there working with the cows.
Yeah, well, you got it because of all the constraints that big milk's putting on people.
I support big pharma.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't agree with big milk, and I think. We'll get back to this after our first plane break.
Yes, after Jet. Now, just a quick reminder, this is the song we play whenever an aeroplane flies past Jet, because it says Jet in the song, and what's flying overhead is a jet plane.
Big jet plane.
Rarely helicopters. That would be fun, but we wouldn't have a song for it.
No.
So that would put us in a bit of a bind.
Helicopter by Block Party, maybe, but I don't think they even say helicopter.
And that's important.
Yeah.
Because if without it, you don't have Jet.
So, yeah, well, I'm going straight back in. It must be nice to record a podcast not in a flight path, but I don't think it's possible. But
I don't think it actually exists.
No.
What, are you going to live out in the sticks? What?
So milk.
Yeah, okay. Big milk.
You get told your whole life.
I like you calling it big milk, by the way. Well, please continue.
There's this big milk out there, and they really got their claws into a lot of kids. You know what I mean? Like you get told from like the day you're born. The day you're born, you're told it's milk from now on, buddy.
Yeah, I mean, I was conned by even Oreo ads. Big dog fan.
Big dog.
Chocolate's bad for dogs. You can have the rest of my milk. And I said, that's cute. Might grab myself a glass.
But little did you know, originally that line wasn't in there. And then Big Milk kicked the
big
fucking
milk.
Door down. And they were like, we saw you had milk in there.
Allegedly.
You either pay us $10 million for featuring milk in your ad, or you're going to shout out milk at the end.
Allegedly.
And yeah, allegedly.
Don't come for my big farmers.
Hey, guys. Well, I know Big Milk's listening. And every time we mention the product milk, they're sharpening their spears.
Yeah.
But the thing is, everyone from a young age, and I'm not saying don't give your kids milk. Fine. Give your kids milk. If they want milk, give them milk. What I'm saying is, at a certain age, you can stop drinking milk.
It's a bit perverted, isn't it?
Stop drinking milk.
It's a little bit perverted.
Like, put it in your coffee, sure, tastes better.
It's like you start off drinking milk from your mother, presumably. Yeah. Some people have, you know, whatever that fake stuff is, formula.
Yeah.
And, you know, well... They always turn out a bit wrong, but
formula kids are weird.
Formula kids are strange.
Yeah, of course.
But you know, it's a bit perverted where it's just like, yeah, you've stopped having your mum's milk. Okay, now let's move on. You don't have to keep having a white liquid in your life just to what? Feel closer to home? You're gross.
My issue
you're disgusting.
Is with 30-year-olds that like will be like, oh yeah, I drink milk for calcium. And you're like, buddy, you don't need to. What are you doing?
You don't need to do that.
Like, so they'll sit down and they'll pour a big glass of milk. I'm like, what the fuck
is
wrong
never
with
actually been a milk drinker.
It's not right.
Except for my mother. I'm not a formula weirdo.
No.
Okay.
For a second there, I was about to throw it down.
No. I'm a proud mama drinker.
Yeah, you got a mama drink.
When I was a baby, okay.
When I was a baby, I was a big mama drinker.
I was a big mama drinker. I was like, wah, I'd cry.
Yeah, I'd cry until I got my mother's
breast in my mouth. But I moved on.
Yeah, of course.
And I didn't need milk. In fact, I love cheese.
Mm.
Okay.
Hey, Listen.
We're not coming up.
Big Dairy.
Big Dairy.
Big Dairy. We're not fighting you.
We're not
this
fighting
one.
Big Dairy. It's Big Milk.
I think there's a lot of people in the Big Dairy family that are doing a great job
They're
out there.
They're doing good things.
I'm concerned with that you have one rogue agent within Big Dairy, yeah. And they've gone off and they're imposing their will where it's not needed.
And they're poisoning the youth.
They're poisoning the youth.
Yeah. Because honestly, I do enjoy a milkshake. You put a little bit of chocolate.
Obviously, a milkshake.
But
is
I
an
can't
exception.
Drink one without getting sick.
True, you're
right. I have a deal with Mel that if I ever ask, because I'll try.
Yeah, well,
if I'm in the supermarket, we're doing a bit of a shop. There's an oak.
Oh yeah,
oak vanilla malt.
Oh hell yeah,
best flavor. I'll go. Can I please have an oak, Mel? She has to say no.
Yeah.
But I weasel my way into a milk sometimes.
It's not once a year.
You know what that is? That's not my fault. That's Big Milk.
Big Milk got in your ear. They got in your ear like a fucking anamorph yurt. And they got in there and they're just talking to you nonstop going like, mate, I've actually noticed your calcium's been low. And you're like, how do you know that? And they're like, well, you haven't had a kidney stone all year. And so like, I want to get you to the point where you're having daily kidney stones, baby.
Are they calcium based, those kidney stones?
I believe. I mean, like, Big Milk, right in. And we know you've already fucking got your lawyers on the line.
There is nothing more satisfying than passing a good stone.
Yeah, true. You want to pass one of those good stones?
Yeah.
That's milk for you.
Get milk.
But yeah, no, I believe kidney stones are a calcium buildup in your bladder, I guess.
Oofty doofty.
You don't want them. You don't want them.
No.
Because you don't need milk. As an adult, you don't, I'm not a nutritionist, but you just don't need milk. What are we doing here?
Yeah.
You should never,
there's so many
you should
types
never sit
of milk.
Down and drink a glass of milk. Like, what are you doing?
Low fat milk. Goat's milk. Who?
Yeah, I don't know.
Who's drinking goat's milk?
Know. I don't know.
They're even pulling milk out of nuts now.
Yeah, nut milk.
You
can get
milk.
Some of the D's nuts milk.
D's nuts milk.
Hell
dude,
yeah.
We're
the first people to ever say that.
I think so. What's 25 plus 25? 50? 50's nuts in your mouth, bitch.
Holy shit. This
dude.
This is a podcast we do when Cassie is not around.
Yeah.
A couple of boys talking about Big Milk.
I don't know what she does when we're not around her, though. And I get worried. I'd say...
Hold on. Did you notice the other day when we turned up for podcasting, she had like pint glasses of milk laid out for us?
You don't think that she's working for Big Milk, do you, Mark?
I mean, it's suspicious.
She's always asking me, oh, can I get you a beverage? What beverages do you want? And can I say, super nice gesture.
Yeah, yeah. And she'd be like, and then you're like, oh.
But she's like, you must drink this first. Yeah, I'm like, why?
You're pre-beverage. Oh, shit.
She's pre-milking me.
Were you a Yakult kid?
No. I was a, remember the cow, the cheese wedges?
Oh, Baby Bells.
It always comes back to cheese for
You're
me.
A Baby Bella.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know about Baby Bells. It seemed like a lot of work to get a little bit of cheese to me.
Yeah. Well, I had a nice, fun little tab. You sort of unwrapped it. I learned to undress people from cheese.
Cheese thing. I mean, first, that's why you always go for the belt first.
I always go for the belt first, or I find a thread on your clothes and I'll just pull it until there is nothing remaining.
Yeah, no, I wasn't. For a little period there, I'm talking like maybe 2 months.
2 months? Okay, that's a real small period.
I was a Yakult kid. Because like I'd had Yakult at like a friend's house.
I mean, it's in the name, Mark.
And I was like,
cult. It's a cult.
I was fully in. I tried Yakult once at a friend's house.
This is actually pretty great.
The whole family sat me down and they were like, it is now time for Yakult.
Mark, you've been hanging out with my son for some time now. And well, you seem like a good kid.
Yeah.
Here, why don't you drink from this tiny bottle that cost probably like $6?
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, I had him at like a friend's house and I was like, this is the kind of shit I like. I like-
Wasn't
I like,
it just the off taste of milk with the promise of-
It was like, yeah, like it was like-
Biotics?
It was like a sour. There was a sourness to it for sure. And it came in a little fun bottle. Like not much does, you know? It's a rare treat to drink from a fun, small bottle. And-
See, that to me is a red flag. When
sure.
the company itself is like, listen, we're you cannot have too it. Much of this.
We have portioned this out to an alarmingly small serving.
Trust me, 2 is a risk. 3 is hospitalization.
Yeah. No, I liked it, but I think as you said, I think after like 2 months, my mom was like, I'm not spending my money on these little milks, these little fake sour milks that you're obsessed with.
Is that the first time that was she the one that sat you down and told you about Big Milk?
Well, listen.
And the harm that they've actually done?
She tried to. She tried.
What is your cult?
What happened was, what is it?
Yeah.
It's a probiotic.
Right.
Follow-up questions. But what's a probiotic? Don't know.
Antibiotics, though, separate to probiotics.
Hold on a second.
Where are we now?
I'm confused because here's the thing. They say you want antibiotics.
When you're sick.
You want probiotics when you're well? What happens if you take a... What is a biotic?
What if you drink a Yakult after having an antibiotic?
It's just like...
Do you shut down?
Yeah. It's like in...
It's like a Lord of the Rings war in your belly.
Yeah, I'm kind of thinking of like, it's like when you're watching like Dragon Ball Z or something and they both shoot blasts at each other and they kind of meet in the middle.
A key clash.
I feel like it's a tummy key clash.
Ah, tummy key clash.
You don't really want that.
Someone's doing a Kamehameha from one side, big bang from the other.
It's chaos.
Probiotic, antibiotic.
Yeah.
And now we're doctors, so basically make sure that you take everything we say seriously.
Yeah, no milk. Your cults, I would say twice daily.
Three times if you want to be healthy.
Spicy.
But make sure that you take that with an antibiotic because you have three, you need to counterbalance it.
It's too many.
You need to counterbalance it. Look, we're just about health.
You want to take one in the morning.
Yeah. So like literally take it out of your fridge the night before and put it on your bedside table and leave it there.
Leave it there.
When you wake up and make sure you take the lid off too because you need to, the second that you feel consciousness creeping back into you and existence begins, bang, slamming it down.
I would recommend a system where you hire someone to awaken you with it in your mouth already.
Yeah.
So they wake you up and they scream, now! And so you open your eyes, the bottle's already in your mouth. And you get to swallowing straight away.
And they time you.
Yeah, you do.
They time you. They have a little stopwatch. They go, now! And because you need to drink it as fast as possible.
The thing is, every second you're awake, you're letting biotics in.
Right, because there's biotics. Right?
Biotics are bad. Biotics are like bionics.
But
not good.
No.
No kid wanted them.
Well.
Were you a bionics kid?
Yeah, dude.
No way. Those things sucked.
Well, how? How'd they suck?
I don't know. Just
you couldn't afford the Merc.
I just didn't like them. They were kind of like.
They were dope.
They were like little insect little things. Didn't like them.
No, they were like soldiers.
Nah, not for me.
And they had cool masks. My favorite was the brown one. He was the ground element.
He would dig things,
but he would kick. He was a great kicker.
Yeah.
Yeah, he'd have a little spinny at the back. Mark.
They were barely
toys.
This
is the first toy we've clashed on.
Yeah, they were barely toys. They were kind of just like, the skeleton of a toy.
What do you mean?
They weren't cool looking.
They had armor pieces that you put on them. And if you wanted to create your own monstrosity, you could using all the pieces.
I also don't really like the things.
It's great Lego.
Yeah, I don't really like the things in Star Wars as well, which was what Bionic essentially was.
Like
in the early, like the prequels, where they had those fucking droids that like rolled around.
You didn't
shit.
Like the roly droids?
Nah, didn't have time for them.
They were the coolest thing.
Apart
from Darth Maul.
Didn't like any of the droids in the early Star Wars as well.
No, because they're all like, oh, well, we're subtle, but we're also heartless killers.
Didn't like it.
Yeah. No, but not the droid kids though, which are the roly polies.
No.
They were dope.
Don't like
them. They had deployable shields. They're the funnest to play in any video game.
Don't like them.
You're just rolling around at the speed of sonicking.
Here's the thing. I'm never going to like them.
So nothing I say right now.
It's impossible.
Because it's all, you know it all.
I've made my decision.
Yeah.
On the roly droids. I've made my decision on bionics, which were roly droids, let's be honest.
Mark, you sound kind of testy. You sure you've had your cults?
No, I had them.
You need to have your second one, because I know you had your first.
I know. I'm going to pause right now.
I'm
going to pause right now. I'm going to chug 4 to 5 your cults, and then I'm going to get heavy on the antibiotics.
Make sure you have two antibiotics.
I'm going to put them down, just because I don't want to have any biotics in me. I want some pros, I want some antis, but I don't want some regular biotics.
That's what kills you.
It's going to kill you.
It causes cancer. Fact.
Fact.
It causes IBS.
Fact.
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 Not the 5-year cults.
No.
Not that.
No,
and
no,
not mixing that with antibiotics.
That's good. You want it?
It's the biotics. And that's what I was told by Big Milk. No, wait.
Big Milk hates
We don't
your
like
cult.
Big Milk. Right. They hate
Do
your
they?
Cult.
Or are they in good... Or does this go higher than we
anymore.
Even knew?
I don't know
and
anymore.
And they're in cahoots together.
Because everything inside me is telling me that Big Milk is my friend.
No, they
but
can't
be.
But
just moments ago, I was talking about how bad they are.
Yeah.
I feel brainwashed and confused.
This is No Matter What, the podcast we record when Cassie's not around.
Cassie force feeds me milk.
Powdered milk is another milk that I've never tried. Because like...
Condensed milk, delish.
That's just like thick milk, isn't it?
No.
What's condensed
milk? It's like candy. It's like...
What, how do they condense
it? You put a little bit on a teaspoon and put that in your mouth and you go, mm. But mostly you use it for like cooking delicious baked treats, I'd say.
What do you... What is it? What do they mean? Like,
what is it?
I don't know. How are they condensing milk? It's liquid.
It's like... You can't do that. It's liquid.
Literally, it will just break the container.
That's true.
Are they putting it on like...
It'll get too heavy. You know what's dangerous? Sharp milk that just pierces through the carton.
Is it like they're putting it on the hydraulic press channel?
Yep.
And they're like, welcome to the hydraulic press channel. Today we have milk.
Are they French?
Have you never fucked with the hydraulic press channel?
I've seen them. The oh, yeah, when they get like crayons and stuff. Yeah, and it's, yeah.
Shit, that's what the guy talks like. I think he is French.
Oh, well, I mean, I haven't watched, I've seen clips of it. I've never watched a channel where it's a guy who's like, hey guys, today we're...
Oh, you gotta.
Oh, you gotta?
You gotta.
I watched a guy peel the skin off of a watermelon, just the outer layer of the watermelon.
Okay. Then we're on something. How long did this take?
Oh, it was like a short. Time lapse. Yeah. Which is satisfying to me.
Yeah.
And then he cut off the outer sort of skinless skin, I suppose you'd call it. Yeah, it's the skinless skin.
Yeah, yeah. Took out all the trash parts of the watermelon.
Then he chucked it and cooked it with Jell-O and some sugar.
How do you cook Jell-O? Doesn't Jell-O...
He boiled it. No, but you always boil jelly. Before you made... Have you never made...
I've made jelly. I thought you meant that he was cooking. I thought this whole thing in my mind was on like a barbecue.
It's not on a barbecue, but it is on a stove in a pot.
Okay. Oh, pot. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, now it's making sense.
So now he's taking the watermelon skins.
He put jelly crystals in. He wasn't putting fully formed jelly.
No. Yeah, jelly crystals. Okay, jelly crystals. And then
What's jelly? We'll get to that later on.
It's dangerous. If we talk about it too much, I think we'll be on a list.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, he turns it into candy. It was great. It looked great. I want to do it. I want to make candy watermelon. That sounds delish.
I'm in.
Okay.
Let's do it.
I'll bring it over.
Fuck this podcast.
Yeah.
For now,
we're going to the shops.
We're candy watermelon kids.
I think we should create a backpack rig, where you and me can podcast on the go.
I think the world wants that.
I think the world needs that.
Britney mics, baby.
Oh, yeah. Britney mics.
I think that it's kind of stupid that
but we need more to bring podcasts the sound
aren't done with Britney mics. Because like half of the... issue is you put it on a mic stand, you bring these heavy mics. Why aren't we Britney miking it?
I don't know. They're expensive, right?
I think they're just really bad.
Right.
Yeah. Have you seen...
But there would be some real good ones.
Have you seen like the ones they use in musicals. Have you seen what they're like now? Have you viewed many musicals? Like gone to see many?
Yeah, I probably haven't seen one since... The last one I would have seen was Book of Mormon. Okay. Potentially Matilda when that was showing. I don't know which one came first for me, but it was within the last 4 years.
Yeah, so they would have had these mics then where like it took me ages to find out what the fuck was going on. I thought everyone in...
Was just shouting without stressing their throat. No, I thought you went home.
I thought everyone had really weird hairlines because I was like, why does everyone have devil's peaks? Because now the mics, they go up, they go the back of your shirt.
Yeah.
They go up into your hair and then they sit... at the top of your temp, like right on your hairline there. A microphone sits there, so it goes at the back and it goes down the front. So it's like as if you've got a widow's peak, but it just sits there. And so when you talk, the volume gets picked up on the top of your head.
Right.
It's wild because you can't see them unless you like, we can see them. You can, you're like, why do they all have like fucking...
You're like, man, I wish I didn't pay for front row now.
Yeah, yeah.
All I'm looking at are these mics and wondering about the sound quality. I'm being you right now.
Yeah. I'm like,
I'm Mark O'Brien.
Do they hear the feedback? What's going on here? Something's... Ooh,
do they pick up that plane just then that went past?
Yeah. Most theaters are in the plane, the flight path as well.
Yeah, it's a problem. It's a real problem. But they're at war.
They're at war.
The arts, theater, and airlines.
Yeah.
Been going on for a long time. Let's not talk about actual wars that are going on at the moment. Sad.
It's not relevant.
Not relevant to us.
Nope.
The Hollywood boys.
Damn Hollywood boys.
Dude, a lot of people though, due to all the conflicts, taking sides, a lot of people, if they have a hot take, they're immediately dumped by everyone socially. Guess we're who's there to pick up the scraps.
Yeah, we're talking about the hot takes between airlines versus theaters, right?
Yeah.
Because I, when I'm on a plane,
you know, you get your Chris Pratt's like going, "I like planes."
Yeah,
I don't know why he's English.
Yeah, he's like, listen, I don't want to come out against my fellow actors.
Yeah,
all I'm saying is I enjoy going on planes, and instantly
he's like, "I'm not road tripping to Europe."
Yeah, that's well. And when you're on a plane, what you want is to see a live show.
Mm-hmm.
You would like to sit in your chair,
yeah,
and you would like to crane your neck to the right and just watch some amateurs do Hamilton
at the front, at the front of the plane.
You'd like that,
you know.
Everyone would like that.
The ticket prices jacked up.
Oh, so expensive! You got to pay.
You want half the seats removed,
so
it's even more hard to get a flight.
Of course, yeah.
But you want a little stage,
yeah,
and you want a local theater stage. Company.
You'd like a thrust stage.
Ooh.
Is that, I think that's the name for a stage that's in the middle, you know, where the audience sit around it.
Oh, like I think right. Like those domes. Where,
or just like any.
A thrust stage.
I think it might not be that. I don't feel confident, but let's call it
fun to call it that though.
So a thrust stage. So it's thrusted in the middle of the audience.
I like that. Mark's making a hand gesture where he's all his fingers and he's just sort of thrusting.
I'm the stage and the audience sit around me.
Yeah.
And they can be quite awkward because like sometimes when you're watching something.
You're just watching the back of someone.
Well, that and also like you as an audience member can see another audience member across from you. And so then are they part of the show?
That's a love story.
Yeah. It was meet cute.
Yeah.
Meet cube is what I said.
Meet cube.
It's a meet cube.
Meet cube. Yeah. I mean, when you're sitting there and you've got a show that you've been waiting for so long and you've spent hundreds of dollars on these tickets.
Yeah.
And you're with your current partner who you don't love and you don't care
for. It was terrible.
And you're looking through the act's legs and across the thrust stage.
Yeah. Literally anyone else.
There they are.
And you're like, wow.
There they are. And maybe a few times throughout the show, your eyes actually meet.
Of course they do.
And you go,
you're doing this. You're doing the Harriet the Spy. You're holding your eyes open going, look at me.
Notice you. And maybe a little cheeky smile.
Because every now and then when there's like a little lull, like you're not doing it too much, but if you can get away with it when maybe there's a silence
in
the play where you go, hey, me, look at me.
And the acoustics are so well designed that will travel.
It will travel, yeah.
It will travel.
You're getting some attention from most people.
I personally go for the, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that will get attention, often from the people I don't want.
You know what pisses me off when you go to see like a play or a musical? It's like everyone there is giving attention to other, like to the wrong people. Like, because I'm there as well and I want them to look at me.
Well, because I and you, I'm sure, could do anything that whatever the person on stage is doing if I just put enough time into it.
The thing, it's not hard.
It's not hard.
It's not hard.
And whatever you can do, I can do better if I wanted to. I just don't want to right now.
Flat out. Absolutely flat out.
I can do double backflips.
Of course.
In a single bound.
Yeah.
I don't want to right now. It's not that I can't right now. I just don't want to.
I'm sick of these Hollywood elites, you know, in small theater companies, like trying to steal the focus from them Hollywood boys.
Yeah, I wear a shirt that says "Come for the show, stayed for me."
Yeah, and it's spelled CUM.
Yeah,
which is
of course
funny,
it is.
Which is funny. Good funny.
Saved on lettering.
Yeah.
Okay.
Savings.
That's what we do. We penny pinch around here, but we also spare no expense.
You can't.
As Hollywood boys, but yeah, come for the show, stay for me, just so that, and everyone goes, that shirt's one, hilarious.
Wait, hold on a second.
Because the cum, it's dripping.
Yeah.
The lettering is dripping on the C little bit.
Now I know people at home are worried. They're thinking, well, okay, sure. I'm imagining it. You walk into the lobby.
Yeah.
All eyes on you.
The shirt, so I'm a tall guy, but the shirt itself is a quadruple X.
Yes.
So it's very large. It goes down to my knees and I hold it out and I walk around with my arms extended all the way out, holding the bottom of the shirt just so everyone can read it.
Yeah. Imagine your bat winging grandpa's nightshirt.
Yes.
And then we set the scene. So
I'm walking around and I'm taking up a lot of room.
Of course.
But it is very, you can read it.
Yeah.
And it's on the back too, obviously.
Of course.
It's the exact same thing.
And people are in the lobby and they're making note. They're going, have you seen that guy's shirt?
I'm hearing chuckles all around. It's 360 chuckles.
That's actually quite funny. But now the audience is worried now. They're thinking, okay, well, sure. You've gained attention in the lobby. But what's going to happen when you get into the actual theater? They're going to turn off those lights. They're going to put on the stage lights. What's happening?
I tell you what, it's worse when it's a movie. Because I am standing in front of the projector a lot of the time. It's a big shirt.
Now, does the shirt, it glows in the dark, correct?
I mean, it has to.
It even has
lights on the shoulders.
Good. Yeah. And it makes noises?
I'm great in an emergency. Yeah, no, of course it makes noises.
Yeah. It should.
Yeah.
It should. Just every now and then there's a button.
Come.
A come alarm.
And then the other one, of course, is if I squeeze the right side of the shirt, it goes, me. Me.
And sometimes.
Come. Me.
Yeah.
Me. Come.
Sometimes if you're not getting attention, you'll sit there just like double pressing the me. So people are sitting there and they're trying to watch the play, but all they can hear is me.
And there was one real stubborn guy.
Yeah.
And I stood up and I said, excuse me. Excuse me. And I just kept saying, excuse me. He was really stubborn though.
Yeah.
They weren't looking.
It's not on.
Blind.
Oh.
And deaf.
What are they doing in a play?
What are they doing in a play? That's what I said. I complained.
I went to a cinema once and there was a blind guy there.
Yeah, I mean, I take a partially blind guy to the cinema all the time.
Did you get the headphones?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Audio description.
Cool shit.
It is pretty cool. Hoyts in
his dog was there too. And his dog was just such a good boy the whole movie. He just kind of went to sleep. It was like, oh, we're in the movie cinema.
That's a good boy. Those guide dogs are pretty incredible. But yeah, I'm going to flame Chatswood Westfield real quick for their Hoyts cinema.
Hold on.
Where's the beef?
That drop gets me fired up.
Yeah.
That is a good drop.
Thank you.
The real, the good one. Yeah, I've been there multiple times. Look, it's sort of like a flame, but also a nice. Like a good job. It's like a flé mignon.
Oh, flé mignon.
That's a steak.
Thank you.
It's a flambé. Yeah? So I've been there many times with the guy that I look after, and he's partially blind, and we go there, and he gets the audio description headphones. And I'd say this has happened to us about 8 times where it just doesn't work.
That's not all.
They advertise it on the website.
Yeah.
I ask them because I've been burned before.
Yeah.
If it's going to work this time.
What do you mean? Just like there's just no sound comes out of them.
Just nothing. They just don't work. And then I go out. I leave him in the dark theater, scared and alone.
Terrified.
And I'm going through headphone set after headphone set as the workers keep bringing me new ones and say these ones should work. They don't work. Test it. Why? What are we doing here? Yeah. But at least they give us free tickets.
Oh. Well, like just regardless?
Yeah.
Oh,
even if they do fix it, they'll go just holler at us afterwards and we'll give you complimentaries. That's why I'm saying it's like,
get your
shit together. And also terrible quality of these headphones. They're like, they're literally.
Like the old airline
90s.
She was fucked.
90s, early 2000s airline headphones where they're just like a black piece of plastic that are. So flimsy and terrible.
I love that back in the day when you get flights, like that was like a big thing for them where they were like, well, we obviously make so much money off these headphones that we're not giving you another option.
Yeah.
And you're like, motherfucker, why have you invented
a double jack?
No one wants your double jack.
No one wants your double jack because I've paid my $3 or whatever it is to get these fucking headphones. I can't use them anywhere else on earth.
Yeah. I like that now some fucking hero spent his whole life like training to become a head designer for airplanes just so he could be like, we're getting rid of the double jack, guys. Yeah. No one wants them. People just want to listen to their own fucking stuff.
A vendetta. It's the whole reason he got into the industry.
Yeah. The next day he just quit. He quit. Went to live on a tropical island somewhere.
Got the papers signed. He got out of there. Stole one of the planes.
Yeah.
That's how we got to the island.
Got to the island. And that plane, Lolita Express.
Yeah.
It was Epstein, baby.
Woo!
Epstein, you did one good thing.
You did one
lot
good
of
thing.
Lot of bad
a
things.
A lot of bad lot, things.
So many bad things.
We're not
things.
Even praising you really for the one good thing you
no,
did.
No, no.
But thanks.
No, I mean, like, if you do one good thing.
It's hard to thank a monster.
Absolute monster. Absolute monster. Yeah. However, that being said, I do like to listen to my own stuff on the plane. Or like use, not even listening to my own stuff. I like to use my own headphones.
That's right. Because they're quality and you only buy the best. You know, I will say though, he was assassinated. But moving on.
Assassinated.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of people were assassinated.
There were a lot of people that were supposed to go down.
Yeah.
But they didn't.
They didn't.
That's what we're exposing today.
We'll never hire
Bill Clinton.
Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton.
My guy.
My guy. What are you doing?
My guy. What are you doing? Just admit it. What, you went there to play golf? Come on, dude. Come on, dude.
It wasn't even a golf course.
You don't go to Kids Island for golf.
It was called the Lolita Express. It was written on the side of the plane, buddy. Come on. You knew this would
come back.
What's
Lolita mean?
Lolita. Lolita is a novel by some fucking Russian guy. I don't know. Some dipshit. And it was about a man having a relationship with an underage girl.
How cheeky can you be?
It's a cheeky move.
That's a fucking disgusting cheeky move.
Disgusting
cheeky. To be like, what the fuck? I can't believe
I'll tell you what. Predators are cheeky. Here's another
successful predator.
Would you like to hear another successful predator cheeky move?
Sure.
Have you ever seen?
Is it the moonwalk?
It was the moonwalk. Have you ever seen a man's feet move backwards?
It's a good move.
Have you ever seen Scream 3?
Yes, but you go on. But so it's been a while, but yeah.
So Scream 1, the plot is there's a bunch of, there's a guy who really likes horror movies.
Yeah.
Kills a whole bunch of people dressed as a Scream man.
He's not the killer though.
Well, someone's the killer.
Yeah, yeah. That's just a scene.
Yeah.
Where he talks about it. Is that Seth Green or is that?
Oh, well, they all really like horror movies. That's the whole.
No. I know the Scream franchise is a play on all those sort of
not
thrillers.
Not Seth Green as well.
It's a Kennedy.
Yeah, Jamie Kennedy.
Right.
But anyway, so Scream 1 slasher film. Scream 2 is essentially the same thing, but in college.
Right.
Now Scream 3 is set on the set of a movie that's being made called Stab. And Stab is based on the Scream franchise. Like, not the Scream franchise, but it's based on the events of Scream.
Yes, of Ghostface.
One of the main characters in it is, like, a producer.
Yeah.
He's the guy that's producing the film. And that a huge plot point throughout the whole thing is that this producer is, like, a slime ball.
Right.
And he openly says, like, there's open scenes where, like, he tries to fuck people, like, women trying to get in the industry, and he's like, well, if you don't fuck me, you're not getting on
board.
You're
not getting in Stab. And that's either you let me stab you or you're not
exactly,
in Stab.
Exactly. And this guy, like, he's like, the whole movie essentially is about like Hollywood, and in order to get in, you have to sleep your way in. And it really paints he is the villain in the movie, but he's basically like, I don't give a fuck. Like, I'll do whatever I want. So this movie gets made, you get to the end credits, the movie ends, the killer is revealed, as all of them do. First name in the credits that pops up, executive producer Harvey Weinstein.
Oh dear.
It's the first thing that comes on the screen. Yeah. And you're like, you, how can you be that cheeky? Because that's you. You're the guy that's doing that. Stop being so cheeky.
Yeah. You know, when he asked the writers if they could do a little nod to him, I don't know. I don't think he was anticipating that. He probably still thought himself as like the hunky lead.
Yeah, true.
Male.
The guy who did it, I don't think he was like a big fat slob like Weinstein was.
Just a gross Jabba the Hutt.
Just a
slug.
The fucking disgusting.
Just dripping.
Just dripping with,
in cash.
With lard and
in
cash.
Lard.
And
cash and lard.
So much fat cash. Fat stacks of the fat man.
He's a fat cat. With fat cash.
Like heaps of.
He's like, in prison?
Just like, I think he's still alive, yeah. He's.
I know he's alive.
Ooh, is he? Didn't he COVID? Didn't COVID get him?
Oh, maybe COVID got him.
Did it? No, he's still kicking. COVID got a lot of people, but I don't think it got him.
Got a lot of predators?
Got a lot of good.
Could you imagine if COVID was actually just designed to take out
sexual predators?
Sexual predators, whether they'd committed the crime yet or not?
COVID was
an indiscriminate.
Yeah, COVID was indiscriminate. It was like, hey, if you've been accused, you die.
My baby son died. Well, what can I say? COVID doesn't discriminate, unfortunately.
So sorry, buddy, but
sorry, my fella. That is
to be fair, not many kids died of COVID. That was like
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
Oh God. This goes higher than Big Milk ever assumed.
Mark, what's wrong? You look like you have a fever. Just kidding.
Yeah, everyone. It was like, so what would happen?
Everyone got a bit of COVID.
Everyone got a little bit.
Because COVID has to enter your system. First of all, it won't attach to your system unless you're a little bit of a creep.
Oh, of course.
Right? And let's face it, almost everyone got COVID a little bit.
Of course.
Because everyone's a little bit of a creep. But then it goes through your system and it finds your core values.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it deems whether it kills you or not. We're doctors.
We're doctors, okay?
This is the podcast we do when Cassie isn't around. Cassie, I think, got COVID like 6 times.
I don't think Cassie ever got it, actually.
Oh, shit. So she's the purest of us all. So she claims, right. No, she's just getting every other illness under the sun.
She's like,
I love you, Cassie. Get well. I don't know if she's sick right now, but she'll probably confirm with me later that, yeah, she had something.
You have to assume she's sick at this point.
Assume.
Like, it's like when you go, if you go to like a casino,
yeah,
you can always
bet on black. You can
bet on black. You can bet on red. It's not a good idea to go in a casino and bet on a single number and rule that.
No,
like that's what you're doing if you're betting that Cassie isn't sick.
Yeah,
because she's sick so often. There's only one slither on the roulette board that's not sick.
Yeah, she's sick.
Get better.
Get better. We love you.
Yeah. You know what it is? The lack of your cult.
It's the lack of your cult. Well, you see what it is, though.
I would love to hear. I think
she lacks on the antibiotics.
I would love to hear if she was your cult kid, because I reckon she was.
Of course she was.
She was, hey.
Yeah, she's rich. She drank your cults before she even knew what they were.
Yeah.
That's what we're talking about, where it was just like, oh, what you mean breakfast juice?
She'd open her fridge and there would be like 100, 150 your cults.
Well, you've seen how she stacks her fridge. All the way to the back.
Yeah.
Your cult's all the way to the back.
Yeah.
Do miss her though. But, you know, she's sick. What can you do?
She's sick. She'll never get better. Yeah, and that's the thing about sickness.
So COVID killed sexual predators. That's a good premise.
Yeah. Yeah.
We can't call it COVID though.
No.
We'll call it something else just so that people don't get upset. Because COVID did take lives.
Oh, COVID took some lives.
And people won't be happy with us telling them right now that means... Whether they committed a crime or not, COVID.
Well, listen, the premise is fine. The premise is what we will be basing the TV show off today, of course. But when it's not a, there's similarities. There'll be similarities to COVID.
Symptoms, how the governments reacted to it. Because why do you think governments reacted that way? Because they were terrified. Because they're the all doing it.
Did you ever hear about Bill Clinton? Oh, that's a big plane break.
Yeah, that's a big one. Sometimes the planes fly by, Jet, and we ignore them, Jet, because there's been episodes in the past where we've had like 4 to 5 jet breaks, and some of them don't even make it into the pod, I'm sure. Don't know, don't listen. But sometimes a jet is big enough that you need to give it the respect it deserves, and that's why we jet.
Now, I just want to make one thing clear to everybody listening at home. When we are talking about Jet in the Jet song, we are not talking about the Lolita Express.
No, I would hope that vehicle was decommissioned.
What happened was they put it in a hangar and they were like, we'll never open this hangar again.
But it's a haunted plane.
But someone got in and they gave it a soul.
Oh, shit.
And now it just flies around the sky.
Flies around and its exhaust releases.
Child predators.
Child predators.
And they just fall onto Earth.
Who creates them?
Yeah. Have you noticed that? Like,
it's like Fern Gully, sludge monster. It's like, and it comes out and it just, it exists and it's not human.
No.
But it disguises itself as human.
Sometimes that's the thing about the Lolita Express. And a lot of people don't know this, is they put it in the hangar.
Yep.
A mad pedophile got in there into the hangar,
fucked the exhaust.
They were saying this is the one thing we didn't want.
Is there
want
an exhaust on a plane? Where is it?
I think
the jets on the side.
The jets on the. Yeah, listen, yeah.
His dick got all tore up.
I don't want to become one of those blue podcasts. But I'm saying that if you want to fuck a plane, you'll find a way.
You'll find something.
It's
to big
fuck.
Enough.
There's you know, you're not going to struggle.
Yeah, you'll find something.
Are you? Okay, we're going to get back to what the Lolita Express
I think that's
became.
The Lolita above us now. Look out, Mark.
We're going to get back to what happened to it, but just quick sidebar. So let's say it's a situation where you can either go a monetary reward or you can go like a family member in a hostage situation. But one of the two is happening where there's a family member in a hostage situation or okay. you get $1 billion.
Right. So the choice is between a family member or right, okay.
Well, that's not the choice. Because obviously one of them's better unless you really don't like a family member. You're like, oh, I'll take the family member.
What can I handpick?
So you get put into an airplane hangar and they're like, you have to fuck this plane. And if you don't fuck this plane, you don't get $1 million and your family member gets shot through a cannon.
Yeah.
What's your method? Are you going inside the plane or are you going to fuck the outside of a plane?
Well, here's my problem, Mark. I've never been in first class. Okay, ooh, because be nice. I ride in the cockpit.
You ride in the cockpit?
You ride next to me, them Hollywood boys.
With them Hollywood boys.
We sit behind the neither of us are pilots, but we'll sit behind the pilot and we'll be like, you really should be pulling that one now. Because we'll mansplain them.
Yeah, yeah.
Even though they're men. How to ride the plane.
Never been in a cockpit with a woman pilot. And no. That's the issue with the...
That's the airlines.
That's the airlines issue, not our issue.
That's actually a big talking point for the theater companies in their war with the airlines is that there's not enough women flying the planes.
I mean, let's be honest. Have you ever been on a plane? And I know we have. We fly in the cockpit, but this is for the audience out there. You're on a plane and they say... This is your captain speaking.
Yeah.
It's always a man, isn't it?
Always.
And that's what we're saying is
usually
wrong.
Usually a man. And that's not wrong. Good.
It's bad.
It's a bad thing.
Actually, I've never been on a plane that's been a woman, is all I'm saying.
Yeah.
It should be. Should be.
It should be. But that's the airline's fault.
It's not our fault.
It's not our fault.
We're making an observation and now they should fix it.
We're in the cockpit. We're telling these men how to fly a plane. And all I'm asking for is an opportunity to tell a woman how to fly a plane.
Yeah, they would love that.
They would love it.
They would love the chance to, for us to sit behind them.
Yeah,
and say, true Hollywood boys. And say you're actually going a little bit too fast.
Should that light be flashing?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. If
trick
if,
question, it is yeah, supposed to be flashing.
If you don't stop this turbulence, I might have to throw this drink on you because it's going on me.
Yeah.
Okay. If a single another drop goes on me, the rest of the drink goes on you.
It's not our fault that we're asking them to fill it up. To the brim.
Yeah, I'm not going back. Look, are we going to half fill it? I'm going back twice as much then.
Make it a double and fill it up to the tippity top.
Fill it right up. Fill it right up. Right up. I want it to be to the level where you can't walk it to me without spilling
it. I can barely bring the glass to my mouth without it spilling. So if there's any turbulence, we're having a problem.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to hold it over my lap. I'm going to extend my arm over their shoulder.
Of course. Of course.
That's, I mean, it's in the contract.
So back to, you actually did avoid the question of how you would fuck a plane.
How would I fuck it? Well, yeah. So not a lot of good places to fuck in the cockpit.
No. I mean, the name kind of is a throw off. Like, cause you
that's what I thought.
Yeah. Yeah. I honestly was like, cockpit, I'll go straight there. Put my cock in.
It is funny though, when you and me pull out our cocks when we're in the cockpit and we go, look, look, pilots, this is the cockpit now.
Yeah. 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 Is this what it's named after? Flash.
Friend of ours, Brad Pitt, that was the ultimate. When we had him come into the cockpit and he got his cock out, we're like, so look, funny. It's cockpit.
Yeah. Yeah.
They didn't seem to find it funny.
Yeah. I mean,
Brad was laughing. He's a good guy.
Brad would laugh at that. That guy's a pranker.
He's a little such a prank. Juvenile prankster at heart.
Do I like Brad Pitt? Is he a bad dude? I like him.
I think he's great until proven otherwise.
Yeah.
Until anyone accuses him, and then I will just immediately
I'll drop him so quick.
You got to drop him so quick, even if later it comes out that he didn't do the bad thing.
Didn't die of COVID.
He has to have a stain on his name. He didn't die of COVID.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people didn't die of COVID.
Yeah, not many celebrities.
That's kind of nice.
Robert Durst did.
Oh.
That's what I'm saying. This is... Wait. I'm sorry. I hate to keep going back.
I would... Am I allowed to cut holes in things?
No.
Oh, wow. I love cutting holes.
I know. And I anticipated the question. It's in the contract. There's no cutting holes.
Okay. And how much am I getting?
How much money are you getting?
Yeah.
You decide.
Wow.
Yeah.
Blank check. And what happens to my family member if I don't?
Carte blanche. Yeah. Blank check.
What happens? I like that. Carte blanche.
Yeah. What happens to your family member?
If I don't
shot from a cannon.
What? Shot from a cannon.
Now you can decide the circumstances of that as well. It could be a small cannon. Could be a clown cannon.
Am I cramming them in or am I making it spacious for them?
Yeah.
But let's be honest. Listen, I'll fuck the plane.
It's all up to you. They could even get shot by a cannon onto a bed of pillows.
I am putting my cock
Okay.
In the syringe dispenser in the bathroom.
Fucking hell, that's a terrible choice.
Yeah.
Because there's going to be syringes in there.
Wait, what?
What do you mean?
I expected a clean plane.
Well, I don't know why you expected that.
Oh, am I mid-flight?
Mid-flight.
Am I mid 38-hour flight, yeah. Which doesn't really exist? Is there a 38-hour flight?
We're getting one, baby.
We're getting one.
We're refueling in the air.
I'm starting in Australia, going around.
Back to Australia.
Maybe that's 38 hours.
I think it's longer.
Fuck yeah.
I think that's like...
More danger.
Got to be 40 hours, which is 2 more hours. So you were so wrong. How dare you?
Wait, what's 48 hours?
I was saying it got to be 40 hours.
Then I realized
you said 38.
Yeah. So I'm, yeah.
How dare you? Fuck you.
Those 2 hours, if we looked it up, I bet you're right. Fuck, I'm so stupid. But not stupid enough to put my dick anywhere else. It's going straight in the syringe hole.
Going in the syringe hole.
Because.
That's horrific.
Maybe I'll get a little heroin, which is unlikely. But maybe I'll get, you know, what? What do people object?
Hold on. This is a modern plane.
Mm-hmm.
Do syringe holes exist on modern planes? Can you get a syringe on a plane? Well, like how are you doing? But like, what about diabetics?
Exactly.
So you're basically getting insulin.
Yeah.
You're getting insulin and
insulin helps against biotics.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a choice I didn't expect. I gotta
Where
say
would you fuck, Mark? What, in between the cushions?
I mean, probably.
There's people on the plane. What, are you going to lie down on their laps you fuck your chair?
Well, by the way, in this scenario, we've already ruled out the exterior of the plane because for now we're mid-flight. So I still do want exterior. So what I'm doing is I'm going to stand up. I'm not going to announce to anyone, but I'm pushing the door open.
Yeah.
So the door's flying off.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And then and then
you're just letting the air pressure suck your dick.
I put my hands up to the side and I let God do the work.
And the judges are watching you and they're like, ooh, they're a bit iffy. They do like the creativity, but they're a bit iffy. Yeah. But then you start doing gentle thrusts in and out of the massive hole of the door that's a 10.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, I've got syringes sticking out of my dick and I'm looking at them. They've given me a 5 and I'm like, God damn it, Mark. I mean, Mark is.
But here's the thing. I get to pick my prize. I only picked $10.
$10.
I was excited about the whole experience.
$10, and you use that $10 to buy a matchbook to light that cannon, baby. You are sending the relative.
All the way to the fucking moon. That's how big this rocket is.
Yeah, we didn't say...
Cannon, sorry.
It was a cannon, yeah. It's a big cannon, but it's a cannon that shoots rockets.
It's a cannon that shoots rockets.
Come on, we can do whatever we want. Fuck you. You're listening to the podcast that we do. Guessing it's not here. Oh my God.
I do want to know where Cassie would fuck an airplane though. That's the bad thing about this podcast sometimes. It's like, I would like, that's kind of info that it would be valuable to me at this point in my life.
Yeah.
I bet you do the syringe thing as well. I bet you it's a popular choice.
Yeah. How does she do it though?
She'll figure it out.
She'll figure it out.
She's got a mindset
She'll
on the syringe.
Some sort of pressure seal with the syringe. So anyway, there's a disease that's targeting sexual predators.
Yeah. Okay. So let's jump into the pilot.
It's starring Matthew Perry.
It is unfortunate because this already filmed. I will say
he sold us his likeness.
Good thing about Matthew Perry though.
Yeah.
He's not one of the guys dying in this.
No.
He's the star of this.
No.
Confirmed not sexual predator.
That's right.
So we open on,
but he is the moral compass of the show, where every day someone he cares about that he truly considered a real friend dies. And he has to deal with that.
By the way, I just want to throw one thing out there, and I know we're doing the pilot episode here.
Welcome to the most offensive episode of No Matter What.
It really is.
It really is. We've gone above and beyond.
We've talked about Lolita Express.
We've talked about COVID killing sexual predators. Only, exclusively.
This isn't COVID in this,
no,
in this thing.
No.
It's COVID.
COVID.
Is it?
COVID da loca.
COVID da loca.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah.
So I just want to throw it out
because it originated in Mexico.
Yeah. I just want to throw it out there that the sexual predator thing, I feel like, is the end of season one bombshell drop.
That they actually find out that that's what the disease is doing.
Yeah.
And then season two is about people supporting the disease and people that are still against the disease.
Yeah.
And people are like, how can you be against the disease? Are you supporting child predators.
And then other people are like, well, it's indiscriminate. It's if it, it makes its own mind up.
Yeah.
That's good. That's good. But we're doing
that. That's season two. Look, down the line, we probably will do a no matter what revisits where we will go back and do the pilot episode of season two for shows that already exist. But we're not there yet, baby.
We're not there. We're not there. So we're going to open on... I mean, this is gonna be a dark episode, and it is a comedy. This show,
so it is a comedy.
And we're gonna have to just slapstick it up, I guess. So we're gonna open on the recently deceased Matthew Perry.
R.I.P.
Rest in R.I.M.P. Rest in Matthew Perry.
Rest in Matthew Perry.
So he, I mean, I don't think we can open up another show with someone waking up. I just think at this
with
point.
With a sunrise and next to a pool.
Yeah. Every one of our shows so far has opened with someone fucking waking up. So we're not doing that this time.
Look, we can't help that that's what audiences want.
Okay. So we open on a man.
And going to sleep.
He's asleep. Okay.
He's putting his head down on the pillow.
No, he is asleep. I will say he is asleep. But you can kind of hear... It opens on a black screen and you can kind of hear like... And then you hear like a big, like a boom, something hits him.
I didn't like that.
Something hits him and he opens his eyes and he looks at his shoulder and you're seeing this first person view. He looks at his elbow, and it's in a bit of pain. He looks up and the air stewardess goes, "Oh, I'm so sorry. So sorry, I hit your arm." Is he Matthew Perry or is he playing a character? Because I think we're doing a disservice if it is Matthew Perry, but at the same time, I'm completely fine with it. This being first class that we're in right now.
Yeah. I think Matthew Perry, he's not playing Chandler.
No, of course he's not playing Chandler.
He's playing Chanda.
He is playing Chanda.
Yeah.
But his name is like Rufus Chanda.
Yeah.
It's because they'll call him Rufus a lot, but he is Chanda.
Rufus L. Chanda.
Rufus L. Chanda. And so he gets knocked and he looks up and because he's not in first class anymore, he's at the back of the plane and the air stewardess and we're getting the same one because this is a prequel to Found. So we are getting the same air stewardess from Found and she looks
because
at him.
It's all the same universe.
Yeah. She looks at him and she goes, "What of it, mate? Can't you see I'm trying to fuck?" And she's an awful woman.
Terrible.
She goes, "Can't you see I'm trying to push this down the aisle? Yeah. You're putting your elbow out.
Can you please uncross your legs, sir? Sticking out in the aisle."
Yeah. And so he's like,
"That's what I get every time I fly on a plane."
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, I like to sit like this, with my leg crossed and it pops out of the aisle. What can I do?
Well, that's what she says. And then he's a nice man and he's like, "Oh, I'm so, could I be any more sorry?" And then already.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a great line.
We were worried.
Be anymore, sorry. What?
We were worried that people wouldn't recognize him because he does look a bit different from his friend's days. So,
right.
So we're putting it in there.
Age does that.
And so she walks past and he's on a plane. he's on a plane and you don't know where he's flying to yet. But I think we want this to take place in the fifth character of Friends. The seventh character of Friends, and that's a New York City baby.
Right. Of course. Yeah. The Big Apple.
So he's on the, and he looks up and he's like, "Oh, could I be any more sorry?"
But he's returning on a flight from Mexico.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
And the way we do that is a lot of people on the, everyone besides him are wearing sombreros.
Yeah.
Literally every single person.
Yeah.
And he'll look to the man beside him and he'll be like, "A lot of people wearing sombreros on this," and the guy will look at him down the barrel of the camera and he'll go, "Yeah, we just came from Mexico."
Yeah.
And that's
so we're currently leaving Mexico to go to New York City.
Yeah.
Where you live.
Yeah.
And he's like, "Thanks."
Yeah. And he'll go, "I guess. What do you even do?" This guy's aggressive for no reason. Yeah. The guy's like, "What do you even do in New York City?" And that's when we get to be like, and he'll be like, "Oh, me, I'm a biologist.
I actually dabble in RC cars.
I'm a biologist and I dabble in RC cars."
Yeah.
And then he'll pause because he's like, usually that brings up a lot of questions.
Yeah.
And the guy will go, "Not interested."
Not interested.
And he goes, "I'm interested in the biology part. Don't get me wrong, but the RC cars, couldn't care less." And then he goes, Okay? Because you can, cause, and don't worry, in this episode, he's going to get a chance to talk about RC cars. And then he'll
it's a big sponsor.
Yeah.
We got
yeah.
a big sponsor this time.
And then he'll go, I'm a biologist. I focus mainly on like,
I'm out here curing things.
I cure diseases.
I look into strands. A lot of molecular designs, he yeah. says, things like this. Just hot sort of
yeah.
phrases.
So then this guy goes.
And the guy's going, hmm. And he's got his hand to his chin.
Yeah.
Which means he's taking in everything and he's thinking about what he's saying. He's going,
And then he goes, what were you even doing in Mexico then? And then he's like, it was just a holiday. Like, I've had a big year.
I was just out there trying to live the vida loca.
Yeah, and then we just have a quick like a blast of yeah. like that song. Just that's it. And we're gonna do it a lot. It's kind of like a recurring thing. By the end of the season, we will have played the whole song.
That's right.
Blasts.
We'll be in episode two.
Yeah. And guess what? Guess what happens when the plane lands? So. They're going to have a conversation and eventually the plane's going to land.
And it doesn't crash.
Doesn't crash.
That's found.
When
and that's in the future when
yeah.
society is living in a pedophile-free
for sure,
world.
For sure. Which explains all the kids on the plane. But because kids can't go on planes right now. Too dangerous.
It's way too dangerous.
But when the plane... So they're going to have this...
What if the pilot dies?
Yeah. They're gonna be talking back and forth. And what we're doing in this scene is establishing that he's coming from... Mexico to New York City. We're going to do an exterior shot next of the plane coming down.
Yep.
We're going to have another little Ricky Martin blast here, and it's going to be New York City, and then he'll land, and that works really well for us.
Perfect. It sets up exactly where we are.
Yeah. It is annoying that we're going to have to put a voodoo doll in pretty soon, but that's going to be all right.
Yeah, but you know, there's going to be a bunch of different people trying to come up with a bunch of different solutions to this disease.
And we'll hit voodoo doll there.
Yeah. We see him at baggage claim.
Oh, hell
and he picks up a silver suitcase.
Yeah.
It's small.
Small.
There's no clothes in there.
No.
And it has a sticker on it that says confidential and it says warning and it says hazard.
Yeah.
And it says from Mexico.
Yeah.
And it says do not open. And this sticker's all wrapping all the way around this. You can barely tell that it's a silver briefcase, but we did go with the silver.
Yeah.
We thought about black,
mm-hmm.
but we kind of liked the shininess of the silver
yeah.
in the end.
Hear me out. So you see a shot of him waiting at baggage claim and that's coming towards him. It's like, do not open, from Mexico.
Dancing in the rain.
Yeah. And then it will say like, that's a good point to put that in. And then it will say like property of Chandler. What was his name?
His name Chandler. Is Rufus L. Chandler.
It'll be like property of Rufus L. Chandler, biologist, very important. And there'll be so many stickers on it.
Yeah.
And it will be coming towards him. It'll be coming towards him. And he'll look at it and be like, oh, there's my bag. And he'll go to pick it up.
Don't know.
He'll go to pick it up. And then in the background, you'll hear like maybe... there has to be a distraction of some sort in the background. So like, I hate to be, it is a comedy.
Mm-hmm.
And I really do think, I think we've done a great job so far in this episode in establishing a lot about this character.
Yeah. I mean, there's no way that you don't know that he's a biologist.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's no way that you don't know that
he's
from New York City, that he's just been in Mexico.
Yeah, yeah.
That he has a passing passion for RC cars.
Yeah. And So this is the first time we've ever done this, but I'm going to give you a choose your own adventure for you to see which distraction you'd like to distract.
Great. And when this happens, it's going to have MP just in the middle of the screen going, hmm? He's looking back.
Also, the audience gets to.
Yeah.
I love it. This is we're bandersnatching this.
Yeah.
We're bandersnatching the shit out of this.
And he's going, hmm? And he's doing like lots of face movements and raising his eyebrows and looking left and right, doing all that facial comedy stuff that he's known
for.
And
then we're going to hard cut to, you can see, it's in the dark. You can see two director's chairs, two people sitting on it, but it's in the dark.
Yeah.
Two lights come on.
Wonder who they are.
It's you and me on the screen. And we're talking to the camera and we go, welcome to an all new interactive, no matter what.
Yeah.
Them Hollywood boys.
Exclusive
experience. And then we're going to say, We're the first in the world to do anything like this. And then it will be down the bottom of the screen. It'll just say, fuck you, Bandersnatch.
Yeah.
And it'll be like, this is a show where you can choose your own adventure. Every choice you make matters.
Are you going to go left? Are you going to go right? Sometimes it'll be up, down, lots of choices. Fire, water, trust me, it'll all make sense soon.
Yeah, and then we'll cut to you, and you're walking on a treadmill, and in the background, there's like, you can see like Kathy Freeman running the 100 meters.
Yeah.
Just inspirational moments in history, and you'll be walking, and you're wearing a turtleneck, and you'll turn to them, and you'll be like, imagine a world where multimedia doesn't exist in one sphere. Imagine a world where narrative is up to you.
Mm.
All your life, you've been told to read a book. You've been told to watch a movie. Wouldn't it be great if you could affect that choice yourself?
The great R.L. Stein
once said,
why write a book when you can write a choice?
Exactly. And then this will go for a good 5 minutes of us just like, of just us really talking about all the possibilities of this. And I think you're aligned with me that we're never going to do any other choices but this one choice.
Yeah, it's a lot of extra filming.
The thing is, I thought about it. And I was really gung-ho when we did this. And I also really...
There'll be one per season.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I really think that no matter what you choose in this, it just has to, for me, it has to have the same outcome.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, well, because there's two distractions.
Yeah. Right? Okay. So distraction one, he looks to, if you choose left, he'll go, which one do I choose? And then if he looks left, he'll go, I guess I'll look left. And he'll look left and you see a kid playing with an RC car in the middle of the airport.
And it's a rare model.
It's a rare model. And he goes like, shakes his head and goes, what?
Yeah.
And he's like, he's fucking psyched. And so he runs up to the kid and he goes, where did you get that? And the kid's like, he's like, oh, this, the RC 2142 rare hot rod edition. Mm-hmm. And then he'll be like, yeah, rare hot rod edition. You're telling me that's not just a rare hot rod edition.
That's mid vintage.
Like, that's mid vintage. Let me get a bit closer. And he'll look
mid vintage.
He'll get closer and he'll look down and be like, yeah, just as I expected. This is the one with the misprint on the wheels. And he'll go, yeah, you've got an eye for RC cars. Now, yes.
And he'll say, me personally, I would have never taken this baby out of the box.
Yeah, that's what he says. He's like, I can't believe you're taking it out of the box. And the kid goes, I got three more at home. This is the richest kid in New York.
Yeah.
This is a rich kid.
This is a really, really rich kid. With, can I say, great taste in RC cars.
Honestly, the best taste you could have. He has three more at home. He's got good things.
And MP just goes, wow, that's really cool. Anyway, I got to get going.
I got to go get my
and
bag.
Then that's just, then we just go back into the regular story.
Yeah. Now,
if you look right though.
If you look right, he goes, which way should I look? And then he goes, I guess I'll look right.
And when he looks right, there's a big, big slob of a man.
Oh yeah.
And he just goes, achoo!
And
it's just onto Matthew Perry. And he's covered in like over the top snot and slime. And he has to do the thing where he takes his two hands like windshield wipers and he scrapes the slime off his face and he flicks it off and he goes, I didn't expect that to happen. Oy vey.
Yeah. Well,
and then he grabs his suitcase.
Yeah. I guess I better go get my suitcase.
Get my suitcase.
And then at that point, we'll cut back into the show.
And I'll say, well done. Congratulations. You have impacted show. You made the right choice.
You made the right choice.
No matter what option they pick, because we want the audience to feel good.
It's all about making them feel good. So
really thought you were going to choose left there. Glad you picked right. You made the right choice.
And so he'll go up and he'll go to grab his bag. We'll see that he goes to grab the bag. He's been distracted, so he does grab a metal suitcase.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get me wrong, but this one doesn't have any stickers on it. He'll look at it. He'll pick it up, and he'll go, huh, I guess the stickers fell off in the flight. And you're like,
bro, you just saw the suitcase before. You saw the stickers, or at least we did. He was distracted. I remember I made a choice, what the audience is thinking.
And then we will cut back to us, and we'll be going. We'll say, huh, I guess you find it kind of weird that he thinks that the stickers fell on mid-flight. Well, he was distracted, and you made that choice.
You did this.
This is your fault.
This is your fault now.
Yeah, cut back to him.
The theme of the show is consequences.
Now we're going to see another man grab suitcase. And this is another one, cool thing. If you did choose the fat slob man, he will be the one that grabs the suitcase.
Yeah.
If you choose the little boy, the fat slob man will be the one that chooses.
He chooses the suitcase because
would a little boy need a suitcase?
And why would the little boy be picking up his bag off of the thing?
Doesn't make sense.
Like, especially when it's the rich. Did you hear how many of these defect vintage RC cars he has at home? He has three. He has so many that he plays with one at an airport.
He's got people that pick up stuff for him.
Obviously.
Okay. Like we're trying to, like, I get, yeah, I know you think it'd be cool if your choices mattered more, but we're actually trying to make a, like, a realistic show here.
We're trying to tell a story.
Yeah.
With a choice.
There's definitely a choice.
And you made the right one.
You made the right one. It did have consequences, okay?
Now,
although the choice was
witness
right.
Witness your consequences. Did you try the third option? Any of you at home where you didn't pick anything?
Yeah.
Right? 30 minutes, 40 minutes go by, but guess what? He gets the correct suitcase because he didn't get distracted.
Yeah.
You are the ones that got distracted. This ADHD society.
Impulsivity.
Oh my God.
Good thing.
You should have just let it ride.
Let it ride.
Do you know how long we had MP stand in front of a camera just going, a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
A lot. And he charged us a lot.
Yeah. He charged us $1,000 per home. And he kept humming.
And don't try and go back and watch it again now.
No.
Because we've turned off the function.
We've turned off the function.
Whatever you pick.
You get one try.
You get one try. And that's the story you get.
That's life, baby.
There's no rewatchability.
That's life,
apart
baby.
Apart from the quality of the show.
It's a great show.
It's a great show.
The fat
Big
slob,
fat slob gets it.
He gets it. He goes outside and he... I think we're going to stay with Matthew Perry here. You see the guy get in a cab and he really fucking throws the bag. And this fat slob doesn't get. You see the way he treats his body? Imagine how he treats like the fucking his possessions.
His car.
Doesn't give a shit.
Would be littered.
Just food wrappers.
And
old burgers.
Old burgers. Just like full burgers as well.
Full burgers. Because what he does is he buys 10 at a time. He can usually eat about 8. But he wants the last two just in case he's extra hungry.
Yeah, and he saw that, you know, McDonald's burgers, they don't biodegrade, they just stay the same. So he's like, I can eat it whenever I want.
Yeah. I'll buy them in bulk and eat them whenever.
He says, "Can I get 10 cheeseburgers with no wrappings, thanks?"
Yeah.
Because I'm trying to help the environment.
Don't need them.
He doesn't need the wrappings because he just puts the whole burger in little cracks and crevices.
We're with MP. He goes back to his apartment in New York. I feel like we need him to like...
Again, sorry, yeah. It's just...
Dun, dun. We got to get the whole song in there.
Throughout the season, yeah.
And we'll use New York City a lot. I probably shouldn't use it. We do need to get through them
all. No, we need to get through the whole thing. But he says it a few times in the song.
I think so.
But we are playing the song in order.
Yeah.
It's just little snippets at a time.
So he'll get into his apartment. I think we need like a relationship here. Like, does he have a partner or is he recently like divorced?
No, I think he has a partner.
Good partner?
His character really has nothing bad going on in his life.
Love it.
Yet.
Okay. Because his partner's for sure going to die. But let's cast the partner. So he'll get home. Any kids?
No kids.
Okay, so I'm going to set the scene. He's fucking tired. He's just gotten off the plane. He got his and he keeps holding his elbow going, "Ooh, that really hurt when that stewardess hit me." So he's having a rough day. He opens his door and he's like, "Oh, could this day get any worse?" A lot of that.
It's really funny.
And it's good. Little montage of him getting to an apartment. He'll go to get a taxi. Then the fat slob man would just push him out of the way and get in his taxi.
Oh, of course
and
he does.
Like, "Oh." And then another one will come past and put water on him. And he'll be like, "I just got these pants cleaned." And he'll get in a taxi and he'll be like, "I'm so glad to be back in New York City. I love this place so much." And then the cab driver will be like, "Well, I hope you like traffic, bub." And then it's Wolverine. They go straight into traffic. And then he's sitting in traffic for like 2 hours and he's like, "This is costing me so much money."
Yeah.
He gets up to his apartment. He's got a doorman and he goes, "Hey, Bobby." And Bobby's like, gives him a look where he's like, "Who are you?
I don't know you."
And he's like, in his mind, you can see that he's like, "Been living here for like 3 years. Like,
I was part of the hiring process."
Yeah,
because he's part of the
Strata Committee, Strata, or whatever they call it.
Whatever
in America.
It is there.
He comes in, he checks his mail, nothing there for him. He's a bit sad about that, but he assumes that his partner might have brought it up.
Yeah.
He goes up to get in the elevator. Broken.
He's got to take the steps. And you know he's high up.
He's high up. He's walking. He's carrying a lot of briefcase. It's heavy.
Carrying his briefcase, he's also carrying the smaller silver suitcase.
Yeah.
Which he has not noticed, or he still is under the guise that he has the correct one.
Yeah.
But as you know the audience,
you made him get the wrong one.
That's right.
So he finally gets to his door and he's like, could this day get any worse? Unlocks the door, opens up. Now, as the audience here, you're probably thinking, oh, something bad's going to happen. Rose petals on the floor.
Oh.
And he's like, hold on a second.
Rose petals on the floor and there's a little RC car with champagne in the basket.
Love it.
And it starts going, zoo, zoo, being like, follow me. And he goes, what's this about?
And so he puts down the bags, closes the door. He starts following the RC car.
But as he walks past, and this is something that we see on the counter, mail was brought up and his partner did go ahead and open that. And it says, make sure the briefcase comes straight to the lab.
Yeah.
And it says that in big red letters that takes up the entire A4 page.
Love it.
Yeah.
That's good.
That's great.
And so he'll follow the RC car and then it'll take him to the bathroom where he's got like a sunken tub.
Ooh.
And his partner played by.
Yeah. I think why not just keep it in the friend's family?
Are we doing Courtney Cox? Are we fucking batting and going for Jennifer Aniston. Or are we going left field and we'll get Phoebe in there?
I mean, it's a comedy.
So here's our choices. Courtney Cox, Jennifer Aniston, Lisa Kudrow, or...
Ooh. Paul Rudd.
Or Paul Rudd. Oh, we never considered he might be gay. I really don't want him to be gay because here's the thing. Here's the reason I don't want him to be gay. His partner's going to die pretty early on and we don't want to come out the front being like gay people are pedos. Okay. I think what we're going to do.
He doesn't have to be the first to die.
He will die. I want Paul Rudd in there. Paul Rudd's in there, but for the sake of just.
I thought this was the most offensive episode. No, it's not. It's. I think it's got to be Buffet.
Buffet. Kudrow gets the nod.
Kudrow so he goes gets the in, nod.
And good on you, Kudrow, because this is a nude scene. So Kudrow, we're seeing you naked, and I'm sorry, but don't worry, we're seeing him naked too, because he's going to get in, and then he's going to go, is there room for one more? And she'll go, I don't know, you tell me, and she'll move. You see everything.
Absolutely everything. There was a bit of trouble with the cameras that day. All the operators had sore backs, so it's quite a low angle. The camera operators they said that they had sore backs. I personally think that there's, you know, a little bit of cheekiness going on there from our camera ops, but they were shooting low.
They shoot low and they shoot fast.
Yes.
But that's okay, because we get the shots and then the camera does pan around to MP. He's completely naked now. Don't like that we're putting him in a sunken tub. It's unfortunate.
Yeah, see, when you took it to the bathroom.
I had forgotten. To be honest, I had forgotten. We can do a reshoot in this. It's going to be janky because we have already done it all, but we can
do a lot with green screens and that sort of tech.
Yeah.
So we are going to be using all of that footage, but we're just going to make it look like they're in a bed. Now, they will be wet.
It's a waterbed, perhaps. Maybe at the bottom of the screen, what we'll do is we'll put a sticker on the bed that says waterbed.
Yes. And that's a quick fix.
So she'll, okay. So imagine this. Okay. So he comes into the room. She sits up in the waterbed. She's drenched.
She's
so, absolutely drenched.
She looks almost submerged in the bed.
It's crazy. So she sits up, she's drenched from the waterbed. We see everything. And then she goes, and then he goes, is there room for one more in that waterbed?
Yeah.
Because we've had to do some ADR.
Yeah.
And I think I did a good job.
You did great, but you know, I think I outdid you when I did Kudra.
Yeah, true. You did.
And she says, I don't know, why don't you tell me if there's room in this waterbed?
Yeah, it's very, very good. And then he takes off all his clothes. He gets into the waterbed with her. There's some splashing on the side. Some bubbles come out of the waterbed.
We've sort of masked as like sheets.
Yeah.
But it's... very fluid. Look, because we made a mistake.
Well, we didn't make a mistake. Before. We didn't know.
Yeah, we didn't know.
We didn't know.
We shot it before.
And so she's in bed with him. We see everything. Big sex scene.
And he says, and he, after the sex scene, you know, they're both lying there. Or floating, but lying.
Yeah.
And she says, oh, by the way, you got some mail.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And he goes, oh, yeah. Well,
I'll check it in the morning.
Check it in the morning. She goes, oh, okay, it's from the lab. And he goes, the lab?
Yeah.
He'd forgotten. He'd forgotten the whole point.
It'd been such a bad day. He runs.
Depending on your choice.
It would have been a bad day either way.
I mean, seeing that RC car was pretty cool.
We'll do a little thing here where if you chose the fat man, he goes, oh, the lab, I've had such a bad day, especially when the fat man sneezed on me, and then he'll run out. But if you choose the other way, he says, ah, oh, I had such a bad day.
Honey, before I go, though, I need to tell you about this kid.
Yeah,
he had a mint vintage car.
Yeah.
RC, of course.
And then she's like, oh, that's interesting. Wait a second. He didn't have the misprint on the tire, right? And he'll be like, he had three of them.
This kid was rich.
He was the richest kid in New York. And then she, and then of that, she goes, oh, a rich kid, huh? Hmm, I like the sound of that. Bit of foreshadowing.
Bit of foreshadowing.
Bit of foreshadowing. She is a pedophile.
She is. Oh, no.
I need to mention that she is a pedophile at this point.
Oh, a rich kid. She goes, I could get behind that or under it. And yep. Now that's where he goes, what did you say? And she goes, nothing. And then she, this is hard because we had to leave the shot in, but she, this because he's out of the tub.
She splashes
out of the bed.
Him, yeah.
She does like a big splash. So yeah. We had to like mask it with, it looks like she's throwing a blanket at him. Yeah. It didn't. Making the blanket dissolve on his face as it slid down after it hit him was kind of tough. It was a tough move, but we have some of the best.
Some of the best. And so he runs out. He grabs the letter and he goes, oh, I gotta get to the lab right now. Grabs a bag, goes to run outside, and she goes, honey, you're naked. And so, because I want you to.
And it's like a big gong, like, boom.
Yeah.
And he goes, oh, whoopsie doopsie.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what Chandler does, right?
He does.
In France, he does. He says like whoopsie doopsie.
He says whoopsie doopsie like most, once or twice an episode. Yeah, it's kind of like a catchphrase.
Okay, cool. Not a big Friends guy.
He gets dressed. He goes down to the lab. We don't need to see him getting there, but he shows up at the lab. It's called like New York Laboratories.
Yeah.
With an S, because there's multiple.
For your health.
For your health. And he'll go in, and then his boss is there, and his boss is played by, we're keeping it. This is our chance to get Paul Rudd in here, or do we want an older gentleman?
Well, the thought in my mind has to always be, do they live or die?
Yes.
So it's tough. It's tough because whatever actor or actress we cast right now, will they die? Will they live?
I think.
And remember, the only trouble this MP has in his life, really,
yeah,
he's got a great wife. So he thinks.
She's a pedophile.
She's a pedophile. Confirmed. It's that all the nice people that he loves in his life
are actually monsters.
Seem to be dropping like flies. So is this boss, is the temperament aggressive, hostile, or is it pleasant and nice? Really? Does he have a good relationship with the boss?
I think he's got a good relationship with him.
Okay.
So we need like I don't want Paul Rudd in this role though.
No.
I do want him to be older and I want him to come across as quite a friendly man.
What's the guy from, what's that? Oh, actually, no, he's played a bit of it. He was in Dexter as well. He was like the older guy. He's in that Alien show. Fuck, man. I'm so bad with names.
Duchovny?
I don't know. See, you even saying the name doesn't help me.
Okay, what about this? How about I set the scene for you?
Okay.
New York Laboratories.
Yeah.
He walks in. He runs in. He's in a rush. He gets to the front desk and he's like, shows his lanyard. Because he's got like
clearance. I am who I am.
Yeah, and the guy's like, go on through. And he goes on through and he's like, he's waiting for you. And he's like, oh God. He runs in and he throws the briefcase down on the table and you see the back silhouette of a man in a white lab coat. You can only see him from behind.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, what time do you call this?
Oh no.
And he turns around and it's Michael Caine.
And he goes, tea time. Because he's made him a tea.
Yeah. I like it.
He's a nice guy.
Yeah. He's like, he goes, what's the guy's name again? Russell T.
Russell L. Chandler. Because it's the L from Chandler. We just chucked it in the middle.
So he goes, Russell L. Chandler.
Sorry, it's Rufus.
Rufus L. Chandler. You almost missed out on tea time. And then he's like, bit of a laugh. And he's like, and they have tea together. And he's like,
I'm so sorry I'm late. Not at all.
Yeah.
I spent my time watching Scary Movie 1.
Scary Movie 2.
Scary Movie 2, but not any others.
The thing about the Scary Movie franchise is I only really like the first two.
And that's when the Wayans brothers were working as a perfect team on those films.
The way that they work together is inspirational to someone like me. I work as a biologist.
The Wayans brothers are the most talented people in Hollywood.
And so he's basically, they have tea together and then it's very friendly. He's like, so how was Mexico? And then he's like,
And this is where we get a little bit of actual context as to why he was there. He's like, well, we were looking into a new strand of a disease, potential cure though.
Yeah.
It's a potential cure. They were working on a cure in Mexico that was supposed to be, as a medicine, a cure to pedophilia.
Mm.
And he's telling him about this. He doesn't say it though. He doesn't say that they're working on the cure, but he keeps calling it the cure.
Yes.
They're working on the cure, but they needed assistance. They needed me to bring home a sample to use in our labs because we've got
better machines.
Cutting edge. We've got the better machines. We've got the funding, everything. Yeah. We can take it from here. I've got so the cure. It's in this briefcase.
So at this point, the audience don't know what the cure is for. And I think that's very important. And I think it's also important to note when he goes, I've got the cure in this briefcase. You can see Kane's eyes light up. He's like,
but I warn you, the cure is not the cure yet. It's still in a raw form.
We need to synthesize it.
Yes.
We need to, something with a particle accelerator, something like that. We've got something.
And it's currently in a gas form.
Love it. Yeah. And then Michael Caine, we haven't given him a name yet. So he'll be like Professor Burroughs.
Yep.
He'll be like Professor Burroughs will be like.
Professor Alfred Burroughs.
Professor Alfred Burroughs. And he'll say like, well, this is very exciting. And then he'll be like, let me look at it. He'll go.
Oh, it's a zipper. It's a zipper suitcase.
It's just a zipper.
I have pictured latches, but I like
just a zipper.
It's just a zipper
around the edges. And then I think that's even when.
And he goes, do you smell McDonald's?
And then he'll open it up, and it is full of just like
cheeseburgers,
Cheetos,
pizzas,
like
crust.
A couple of Yakults in the corner.
Oh well, yeah.
You gotta.
With also some antibiotics as well, a little box.
And so we've really filled it up.
Now, where do we cut to?
We cut to
the fat slob.
We cut to. MP will
you,
go.
You think. Oh, yeah, yeah, go on.
He'll just be like, I don't know how this could have happened. And then that's when we'll cut to a quick cut of us pointing at the audience going, you did this. And then we cut to.
Now, what you first assume is a dump. You think we're just in like a landfill.
Yeah.
There's mountains of trash, garbage, banana peels, rotting things. There's a toilet seat. It's so, but as you go further, you're like, hold on a second. Is that a ceiling above our head?
Yeah.
And it is.
Yeah.
Because as you go further, now you see the light of a screen, you hear, Jimmy Fallon's so funny.
Yeah. Yeah. He's watching Jimmy Fallon sitting on a pile of trash and he's just adding to the pile of trash.
Yeah.
Sneezing everywhere. And then he'll reach the bottom of a paper bag, a McDonald's bag.
Yeah.
And he'll go, I'm not loving this.
Yeah,
I'm all out. I'm not loving this at all. And he'll start to get angry. And then his eyes will go over to the corner of the room and he'll be like, it's a good thing I came prepared.
Yeah.
And then he'll walk over and you hear, because. Oh, we got to cast him.
Oh, yeah.
Who are you thinking?
Kevin Smith.
He's thinner now. So
it's kind of fun for him.
But he was a big guy in the past.
He was a big guy.
So he's
wearing a fat suit now.
He's got that in his brain. He's got this the sense memory that he can play this role.
He knows, honestly, because you see him now as a thin man. He's healthy and it's, thank God, he had a heart attack. He survived it. He made the right changes in his life and he's doing great. But when you see him walk as a thin man, there's something off. And that's because he has the swagger of a large man.
Yeah. Yeah.
He knows how to swing it.
For sure. And so he goes over and he grabs the bag and he just opens it. He goes, opens it up, and you just see this dust come out and it hits him in the face. And he goes, and then he looks at the camera and goes, huh, I feel fine, which is weird that he says that.
Yeah.
This guy's in a pedo.
This guy's not a pedo.
Not a pedo.
But he does get, he gets it. A bit of sniffles.
He carries it. He was already sneezing.
He was already sneezing.
That's the thing that's so smart about this is he was already sneezing. So he's going to pass it right on. And then he goes, huh, I thought I packed some food in here. Throws it away in the corner of the room.
Smashes out the window.
You see it on its way down. You can see it going through. And then he goes,
trailing still behind more of this gas.
And then he goes, well, I guess I should go get some more McDonald's. He goes downstairs, lives on top of McDonald's. He goes downstairs, packed to the, it's in the middle of Times Square.
Oh,
this McDonald's.
Come the on. Busiest, and the McRibs back?
And it signs everywhere. The McRibs back. There's a line around the corner. And he,
get your McRibs here from McDonald's.
1,000 people in the line waiting. And he gets up and he cuts the line. And people in the line are going, what are you doing? And then someone at the front counter goes, sorry, guys. And he's our biggest customer.
And more ways than one. And he is, as we've been saying, sneezing on himself. Yeah, as he's barging through people, he's getting just goop and sludge, and he's coughing and he's splattering and he's just, it's a fucking mess.
Yeah. And you can see a lot of people, like, people react differently. Like, half of the people are like, oh, you can see them shudder a bit, but there's some people that, like, you can see that they're getting sick.
And how fast does this take a life?
You get sick within the first 10 minutes.
Yeah.
It takes a life within 2 days.
And some people can get sick and it not show symptoms for up to 7 days.
Yeah, yeah.
Up to 2 weeks sometimes.
Let's just say this. It kills you as quickly as we need it to,
mm-hmm.
but it also won't kill you as long enough as we also need it to.
Right.
Like,
drawn out, it will be drawn out. Yeah. But if it's like a cool scene in a McDonald's packed with thousands,
people getting sick quickly.
There are some people that are just dropping.
Dropping, yeah.
Like flyers.
And then someone's just like, oh, it's McRib fever again, you know?
Oh, Christ. We've got the McRib fevers going. Look out, everyone. But it's not McRib fever, is it?
It's not McRib fever.
Covida loca.
Covida loca has... And then that's when it will be like, we'll do a long one, but then it's like, outside, inside, out. Living la vida loca.
But we did get him, didn't we?
We got him.
We got him. So he says, outside, inside out, living COVID loca.
Yeah.
And I mean, he's a good sport.
Yeah. Yeah.
Didn't charge much though. Still a sex symbol though.
Quite cheap.
He really believed in the project.
He did. Because he hates pedophiles.
He does.
And you know what? As a proud gay man, I'm proud of him for that. Because this show does not paint gay men as pedophiles as well.
No.
That's one thing we don't do in this show. And when we're sitting down with Ricky, I said, Ricky, buddy. And he said, well, listen, I'll sign on to this in one thing. And I'm like, okay, what is it? He's like, I know you currently have Paul Rudd cast as the love interest.
You're really gonna kill off. I mean, he's so good.
I want that to be Kudrow, and I want Paul Rudd to still be in the show, but I do not want to make that connection so early on in the show. And we'll go, Ricky, you've got it. Can we do the Kavita Loka thing?
Preaching to the choir. I mean, that's the notion that all homosexuals are pedophiles is ridiculous.
We don't
and
want
terribly
that.
Outdated.
Yeah.
We're not touching that at all.
Don't get me wrong. It's an offensive show. It's one of the most offensive shows we've ever made, but we're not going to do that.
Not at all. We have boundaries.
Ricky. Come on, Ricky.
Come on.
And then you can see him smile.
Because he can't help it. When he hears a lyric from his song, he starts to smile. And then he actually did a full a cappella performance for us right then and there.
Long. Too long.
It was a bit long.
I had meetings that day, actually.
Yeah. And I don't know what happened, but suddenly my shirt was off and I was swinging it above my head. I was living it.
He's got an energy to him, that guy. And I think we'll cut outside and then the living Covida loca. We'll be playing, and then I guess we have like the Covida
loca. That guitar solo.
Was that the Friends one?
No.
Sounded like it. Should we do both? Should we do both at the same time?
We'll mesh them over each other.
Boom-diddle-a-doo-doo-doo-doo. I think that works. I think that's perfectly fine.
Credits.
I think that is credits to the first episode. But we will have like a this season on Live in Cavita Loca, because that's what it's called.
Yeah.
Is that what, did we establish the name of this one?
Yeah. No, Cavita Loca.
Is it called Live in Cavita Loca or Cavita Loca?
Living with Cavita Loca.
Living with Cavita Loca. And this stars Matthew Perry. Fucking hell. That's such a shame.
It's such a shame.
Matthew Perry, Lisa Kudrow.
Lisa Kudrow. We have
the Fat Man. We never cast the Fat Man. We cast the Fat Kevin Man Smith. As Kevin Smith. Michael Caine, yep. And Paul Rudd is in it at some point. Don't worry. He'll be in the poster, but he's not in it.
Now, I wonder what. No, I know we've reached the end here. But
Ricky Martin presents Living with Cavita Loca.
Yeah.
I think that's the full title.
That is the full title. And I know what you're thinking. You're like, oh, did I miss it? Did I not see it? And you might not have seen it because it was in the McDonald's scene. A little portal opened up.
Yeah.
And who popped in?
He put his head in and he went.
And he went, uh-oh. And he snuck right back through that portal.
Yeah.
Because
he said, me of all people should get the fuck out of this timeline.
Now. And now that's a little backstory into Tibby.
Yeah. Tibby.
It's a dark past.
Tibby had a dark past.
Yeah. Or a dark future. Doesn't discriminate.
I don't understand time travel.
I don't understand time travel, but all I know is Cavita Loca does not discriminate.
Yeah. Okay.
And he pops in, he goes, oh shit. Cause he knows what it is.
Yeah.
And he's realizing that he was going to do something. So he quickly gets out of there. So he's not impacted by the disease, or is he?
Yeah. We don't know.
But now what we do know is that if he's jumping around,
that's the whole time sphere that is at risk now.
Yeah.
The multiverse.
You thought Thanos was bad?
You've never lived.
Get ready to see half the population drop from Cavita Loca.
Yeah. Okay? Ricky Martin presents Living with Cavita Loca.
Cavita Loca.
Well, that's a definite green light. It's an unfortunate green light. We'll only get the one season out of it unless we change the main character. We filmed the first season, but rest in peace, Matthew Perry.
Rest in Matthew Perry.
He has passed away, so we will have to recast him. I'm thinking we just do the obvious one and get Matt LeBlanc in there, kind of do a Joey Chandler swap type thing.
Yeah.
We'll keep the same character, keep all the same actors, and just have Joey in the next season.
Yeah.
Works for me.
Joey was like the second favorite, right?
But people liked Joey.
No one wants the other dickhead. What's his?
I'm going to put Ross in there.
Yeah, no. Too pretentious. We will find a place for him, but he's probably going down.
Oh, he's going down within seconds.
Yeah.
We might. Why isn't he just one of the people in the McDonald's?
Yeah.
Fuck it.
Yeah. Let's just put his likeness on a couple of extras. Yeah. Like a few. Like there's a few of him in there.
We bought that. We did buy his likeness, which is cheap.
Well, yeah. When the terrible news happened with MP, we started snatching up all the likenesses.
We were buying it like crazy. We bought his likeness.
Because that's the thing. That's what we, I mean, it's an NMW prediction, but over the next 5 years, you will see the entire cast of Friends drop, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's a shame.
That's a shame.
It's a shame. And thank you so much for listening to our most red hot episode of No Matter What Ever, the podcast we record when Cassie is not around. We're going to end this episode in the same way we end every episode of Test Pilot and No Matter What, and that's by saying,
you're all staying stuck in second gear.
Cyclone, hurricane, earthquake, flood, volcanic eruption, or a river of blood. We'll be here even if we get shot, so listen up now for some No Matter What.